Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to be here with you. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people in this world would find a tremendous happiness in the priesthood or the religious life. And for one reason or another, the noise of the world or the temptations of the world or the difficulties of the way the modern world is structured, people are missing that call. So I think it's a service to get to talk about vocations. I think there are so many young women who would find they are just delighted to be in a monastery or working as a sister. There are so many young men who would find their life utterly fulfilled by working as a priest or a brother, maybe an order priest, maybe a diocesan priest. So that's what we are going to talk about this hour. And look, if you're a person who's maybe for you, you've considered a vocation or you have it's something that you want to do, but you have challenges to overcome, or you just don't know how to discern that kind of thing. We're going to spend this entire hour talking about vocations. Again, also, you know, you might just have questions about vocations, you know, like many people don't know, you know, are you barred from being a priest if you've, committed a crime or if you've held up a 7-Eleven, you know, can I still be a priest even though as a kid? Oh, well, I actually don't know the answer to that one. I'm pretty sure someone's going to call and ask it now. Talking about vocations, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We have a new bishop here in San Diego. And we also have a relatively new director of priestly vocations here in the Diocese of San Diego. So we asked him to come in, and he was gracious enough to say yes. Father Mark Gandolfo, the new director of priestly vocations in the Diocese of San Diego, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Cy. It's great to be here. Yeah.
Did you know you and I come from towns next door to one another? I grew up in Carlsbad.
Oh, did you?
And I just found out you grew up in Oceanside.
I did.
For those who don't know Southern California, those are right next to each other. And they're almost exactly the same as towns. Wouldn't you say they're good?
I don't know if I'd say exactly the same.
Neither the people in Oceanside or Carlsbad will appreciate that comparison. So which high school did you go to? Two high schools in Oceanside.
Yeah, so I grew up in Oceanside, but then right before high school, I moved to San Marcos. So I went to San Marcos High School.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But you turned out okay.
Fighting Knights. It's a great school. It looks like a college now. It didn't look like a college when I went there, but so that was a transition for me going from Oceanside to San Marcos and starting a new school. But
okay, so you're a Southern California kid. Mm-hmm. You went to public school. Mm-hmm. I went to public high school too. In North County, we didn't have a lot of options that. But how do you end up a Catholic priest? Will you tell us the story a little bit?
Yeah, it's actually a great story. I have older siblings, and they all went to Catholic school, and I was the only one that didn't go to Catholic school.
Oh.
And ironically, I'm the one that's now a priest. So I think that's it's kind of ironic.
Let's get it together, Catholic schools. Yeah, what's the problem here?
Yeah. It's great. I grew up, as you said, in Oceanside Vista area, and my home parish is St. Francis in Vista, and growing up going to Catholic school there and being really involved in the parish, I always saw the priesthood as a real possibility. I didn't think of it as sort of otherworldly as a child.
The priests were close enough to mm-hmm. the kids that you felt like, oh, this is something that's normal. Yeah. A normal person
Correct.
Could do this.
A totally, totally normal person could do this. And then I thought that maybe I could do it, realizing that I'm not a normal person. So maybe
even
abnormal people can do it. Yeah, exactly. Even as a young kid, I felt kind of called to it. The first moment that I could, I became an altar server as a child. I think I was in like second or third grade when I became an altar server, and just continued serving at the altar in any way and every way that I could, whether that be through altar serving or as a lector when I got confirmed or as an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, whatever way I was able to serve, I wanted to do it all. And I realized that the only way that I could do it all in one mass was to be a priest. You know, I can't be a lector and an altar server. I have to be one or the other. But as a priest, you can do it all.
So you didn't go straight from high school into seminary, though.
No, definitely not. Well, I shouldn't say definitely not.
Because it can be done. Right, yeah, it can be done.
Yeah. It's not totally out of the realm of possibility. It's not abnormal. But I did a year of community college here in San Diego and then took 2 years off to work as a minister. So I did a year of working as the coordinator of youth ministry at my parish in Vista, and then a year of traveling around the Western United States, putting on different confirmation retreats at different churches with a program that no longer exists. It went out of business, unfortunately, but it was called REACH. People are familiar with NET ministries in the Midwest or the East Coast. It's similar to NET, where a church asks for your services to come and put on a confirmation retreat at their parish, and then it's a group of young adults that arrive at the parish, put on the whole retreat for the high schoolers, and then basically pack up their van and go to the next church.
What a life. Yeah. So you were like an itinerant almost.
Sure.
How beautiful.
Yeah.
So, and then that led to what? What comes next?
Yeah. So that's after, so I did that. I said community college for a year, that for a year, and then worked as a youth minister for a year. And during that year of youth ministry, I just felt like a tug on my heart that I was called to do more. And I always thought that I was going to be married. I thought that that was the life that the Lord had planned for me, that I was going to have a big family and be really involved at the parish. But I just felt a tug on my heart that I was called to do more. And one of the questions that I was asked by a really good priest friend of mine, he said, "Where do you feel the most joy? Where in your life do you feel the most joy?" And I my only answer was at church, right? When I volunteered at church, when I altar served, when I was just at church is where I felt the most joy.
Right.
And so he said, "Okay, well, why don't you look into that then?" And I said, "Okay." I mean, I thought about being a priest when I was a kid, when I was in like third or fourth grade. But when I was in third or fourth grade, I thought that everything external about the priest was cool. You know, they get to sit in the comfy chair at mass. They get the cool vestments, you know. At least my parish had cool vestments. I understand not every parish has cool vestments, but my parish had cool vestments. And you know, that external part was the cool part.
Right. But now as an adult, it's an internal.
Correct.
More attraction. Mm-hmm. And so was that priest question to you, was that the thing that you would say gave a direction to this, that you it kind of seems like you're hanging around church ministries, you're wanting to be in that, but this is the thing that gave you the direction, just that priest saying that to you?
Yeah, I would say that it sort of brought to light something that maybe I hadn't seen before. You know, the sort of the priesthood was on the table, but I was focused on what was in front of me and not on the priesthood that was at the other side of the table necessarily.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he sort of slid it over to me and said, "Have you thought about this?" And I think that was a very awakening, eye-opening moment for me. Yeah.
All right, so I think a lot of young people, and I say young people because I do think there are far more young men and women who God is tugging at their heartstrings, that who are not making the full journey that you did.
Sure.
So I want to address both young men and women in this regard. That, okay, so how do you know that that tugging is God? How do you discern this? It's not just me, you know. It's not just a dream I'm having, or you know, I've something. But or my feelings, and it'll pass. How do you know this is coming from God?
Yeah, I mean, in order to know that, you have to know what God's voice sounds like. You have to know God's voice, right?
Yeah.
And so, in order to discern if it is coming from God, first you have to know God's voice. The way that I often think about it as, you know, as your parents' voice, when you're in trouble as a young kid and your parents scream your name, you know immediately, oh, that's mom or that's dad, and they're upset with me. And you can tell that immediately by the tone of their voice, by the fact that they probably said your middle name, which they never say, but guess what, they said it, or based on their tone, you know your parents' voice.
Yeah.
And you know that by spending time with them, right? You know that by listening to them, sitting with them, talking with them, being around them. And in order for us to know God's voice, we have to be around him. We have to spend time with him. We have to grow in a relationship with him. So it's no surprise that people are struggling in hearing where God's calling them to, or just even hearing the voice of God, because they're not spending time with him, right? Their prayer life maybe is non-existent.
I see, yeah.
Or even maybe their prayer life is robust, but all they do is just the sort of writ prayers, you know?
Right.
Like, oh, Father, I do a holy hour every day. And my first question is, what does that look like? And they say, well, first I pray a rosary, then a Divine Mercy chaplet, then I read from Scripture for 20 minutes, then I pray, another chaplet, and then I leave.
Did you say hello to Jesus while you were there?
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully they did. Yeah. Did you even look up? Did you look up to recognize that Christ is present in the Blessed Sacrament right in front of you? You know, so... And that's great. I'm not saying that those writ prayers are bad or anything.
No, of course not. Right.
But you're not even spending time listening to God. Like, yes, God is speaking through all of those writ prayers and in the Scriptures, but are we sort of sitting in his presence and listening for his voice? And I think people are just aren't doing that, or maybe not enough.
Right.
And so they can't hear his voice calling out to them, and then they can't respond. You know, you can't respond to someone that you can't listen to, you're not listening to.
So are we doing a good enough job? I mean, in your view, as a priest, are we doing a good enough job of teaching Christian people to pray? I mean, that you know, to share life with God in prayer, or are we not teaching that well enough?
Yeah, that's a good question. I should have said this at the beginning, but I want to begin this, I guess, here. I've been a priest for 2 years. So in my 2 years of baby priesthood.
But it's been the two best priestly years ever.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Okay,
you're not
wrong.
Yeah, no, you're not yanking anyone's chain. You're speaking the truth, Si, that's for sure. It has been the two best years, not only just in general, but the two best years of my life.
Wonderful. Isn't that beautiful?
It's been amazing. I've loved being a priest, and I cannot see myself doing anything else. That being said, in my minimal experience of priesthood and of the life of the church, I think there's a beautiful intention behind parents teaching their kids to pray, behind catechists teaching the students that they have to pray, by priests trying to preach on prayer and homilies. But I think we have a tendency to focus on the writ prayers, you know, on the sort of pre-written prayers. And this makes sense, you know, when you're having a kid going through catechism classes, what do? You say, okay, learn your Our Father, learn your Hail Mary. Okay, now we're going to learn the rosary because you need to know how to pray the rosary. Here are all the mysteries. Oh, and this Chaplet of Divine Mercy from St. Faustina is really great. Learn that. And so we focus, I think, for young kids on you need to learn these things, which is really good. But a part of that also needs to be, but also how do you just communicate with God? You know, how do you just sit and talk with him? And I think as a tiny little kid, we learn this, right? As when you go to bed, your parents say, okay, now before you go to bed, make sure that you pray and you just have a conversation with God. Beautiful. But I think as we get older, there could be a tendency to shift that focus to, okay, now that you've graduated or you've matured from that, then... okay, now you can go to just where you don't have to say that. You can just say this.
Yeah.
And I think that's wrong.
Yes. Right. There's no, the childlike approach to God. We don't have a better option. The childlike ability to just speak to God honestly. There's not something that comes along that's better than that.
Yeah.
Our guest is Father Mark Gandolfo. He's the director of the Office for Vocations here in the Diocese of San Diego, and we wanted to talk about vocations. If you want to talk about vocations, maybe you yourself are feeling a call or would like help figuring out whether or not you're receiving a call, man or woman, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Or maybe you just have a question, a more general question about vocations, about maybe how you can support the vocations. All that is also welcome. We're talking about vocations this hour with Father Mark Gandolfo, 888-318-7884.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the church, on the web at magnificat.com.
EWTN has its own official YouTube channel with tens of thousands of videos covering just about every conceivable topic of interest to Catholics. And best of all, it's free. Every day, EWTN adds new TV shows, live events, devotionals, homilies, and specials to its YouTube channel. Visit the EWTN YouTube channel today. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Mark Gandolfo, Director of Priestly Vocations here in the Diocese of San Diego, is our guest. We would love it if you would call with your questions about vocation in the Catholic Church, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. That is our topic this hour, vocations. And we were talking a bit about how you... It's interesting. First of all, it's interesting to me the answer you gave, that you're not going to hear be able to identify God's call if you can't recognize God's voice. Mm-hmm. And the way to do that is to get in the habit of having a conversation with Him.
Sure.
That goes. Are you a subscriber to St. Paul's admonition to pray in all times and everywhere?
I try to. Yeah. I would say that I may. I'm an avid reader. I don't know if I'd say I'm a subscriber. I agree with it totally and wholeheartedly, but obviously I'm a human and I fail at that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I didn't mean, are you perfect, Father?
Yeah. Yeah. If that wasn't obvious, I want to make it known to everyone.
The questions will be easier perfect. Than that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, how perfect are you? But that's my next question. My follow up is, how perfect
great.
Are
awesome.
You?
Awesome. Yeah. Maybe some of the callers can tell you how imperfect I am. Yeah. I do think the call to pray without ceasing is sort of something that's habituated, but also, you know, how can we do that in the sort of lived experience of everyday life? It looks different for everyone, and how can I incorporate that into my particular way of life? I think there's a beautiful book by Cardinal Serra called, I think, Power of Silence, or I always forget the title. I think it's Power of Silence. And in it, he talks about how we need to incorporate silence in our life, because that's where we hear the voice of God.
Yeah.
Is in the silence. Think of on the mountaintop when, you know, it's not in the fire, it's not in the cloud, it's not in the storm, it's in the small whisper that we hear God's voice. And we can't hear that if... I mean, as you said at the open, you know, the world is sort of so loud nowadays that even spending time just in quiet prayer is something that I think a lot of people are either uncomfortable with, don't know how to do, or just don't want to do in general. But that's kind of where we hear God's voice, is in that quiet and that stillness and that contemplation.
How does it feel to you to spend your life essentially in service to other people's lives? That is, from the beginning of life, you're there baptizing and blessing, and mm-hmm. All the way through all the stages of life. And then I had an extraordinary experience this year with a priest, and I'll just tell you his name, Father Ben, up at St. Patrick's in Carlsbad. Mm-hmm. Because I had to call him one day and tell him that my mother was dying. Mm-hmm. And I said, will you give her the sacraments? And within minutes, mm-hmm. he's at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I think, what an extraordinary life this man lives, mm-hmm. that he is available to prepare my mother for eternal life at the drop of a hat. I don't mm-hmm. know what he was doing. I don't know what he's got going. Sure. I don't know who he's – maybe he's watching his favorite show. I have no idea.
Could be scrolling on Instagram.
But
yeah, who knows?
But this man, you know, he doesn't – he. And I could even hear in his voice that he's very willing to go. Mm-hmm. He's like, what hospital, what room, mm-hmm. where will I go? What, you know, and you just tell him all that stuff. And then he comes, and without any fuss, he gives her the, you know, this great final gift mm-hmm. of her life. How does it feel to spend your life in that way?
Mm-hmm. Very joyful. I feel like I should begin with that. Very joyful. I mean, it says that in Scripture, right? In order to gain your life, you have to lose it. So it makes sense that in a life of service, you feel very fulfilled. And that's how I would describe it in my own experience of priesthood. The days are complicated. You know, people ask, like, what's the normal day in the life of a priest? And I'd say every day is different. You know, it could be one day that I have, you know, a meeting for spiritual direction, a baptism meeting, a marriage prep, two anointings, three anointings, and all of those are very vastly different. And I love it when people call and say, hey, I need you to come because my loved one is dying. Sometimes it's not even a loved one. Sometimes it's they have no family, but they have one friend, and that one friend calls us, and then we come. I always would joke with families and say, it's kind of like Batman. We're kind of like Batman, you know?
I can't wait to hear where this goes, Father. Okay, in what way is the priesthood like Batman?
Priesthood's kind of like Batman. You know, not in the sense that we fight crime and that we have utility belts or anything, but we kind of do have utility belts. Yeah. No, I'd say it's like Batman because once the bat signal goes up, we come.
Yeah.
You know, we come. And that's what we do. And people are very generous and they feel like they have to, you know, somehow compensate you. And I may say, no, this is what we do. You know, you, the bat signal goes up, you're in need, we come.
What a life.
Yeah.
What a life. So it doesn't bother you if somebody says, oh, I got a new house. Can you come bless my house?
No. Moment?
You're not like, oh, you don't feel that way.
Well, I don't. I've only been a priest for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, maybe come talk to me after 40. Maybe after 40, I'll have a change of heart. I doubt that. But no, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have a problem when someone stops me and asks me for a confession. Father,
do people do that?
Yes.
Like they just stop you in the street and said,
yes,
can you hear my confession?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I walk around with a stole in my pocket just for that very reason. So that I've heard confessions at, you know, strange places that people might say, are you sure you've heard one there? And I said, yes, I have. I can't tell you obviously anything about it, but I can tell you it happened. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so let me just ask you this, and then I am going to go to calls and let the callers speak with you. We're talking about vocations with the director of vocations here in the Diocese of San Diego, Father Mark Gandolfo. The number is 888-318-7884. A few lines open still, so you can get in. 888-318-7884. I want to ask you this. I don't know what's going to happen with my wife's health, but it's very unlikely that I will ever be a priest.
Sure.
So what could I do that's helpful to vocations?
Uh-huh.
What do you say to the layperson?
Mm-hmm. I mean, number one, it's kind of a cliche, but I think it's the right answer. Pray, right?
Okay.
That's number one, you know, and people say, oh, I do, Father. And I say, do you?
Oh, you're mean. Oh, mean priest. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think people describe me as mean. That's a first. I've never been described as mean before. But no,
Sorry, Batman.
No, I think it's true. You know, I think, do we really pray for vocations?
Right.
You know, it's beautiful. My parents tell me that every morning they wake up and they pray for vocations. Like every single day they wake up and pray for vocations of the priesthood. That's beautiful. I think more people should do that. The other thing that I think people should do is just promoting it as a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of parents and grandparents, through no fault of their own, you know, have a deep love of their children, but think to themselves, oh, no, not my son, not my grandson. He could never be a priest. Okay, well, that's not helping my job.
No, right.
that's not right. Helping at all. So at least being open. So I think those are two things that would be really good is A, pray, and B, be open to a priestly vocation in your family.
Again, the number 888-318-7884. Is it okay with you, Father, if we go to the phones? All right. You just moved it on me. Oh, so I'm not talking to you, Father. I'm talking to the call screener who just confused me completely. Albert in Visalia, California. Albert, are you there with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello, Albert. How old are you?
11.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Albert. You have a question for Father Gandolfo?
Yeah. What happens if God is calling you to be a priest and you don't want to and say no, what will happen to you?
Mm. That's a good question, Albert. You don't get dessert after dinner. That's what happens. You don't get dessert after dinner. No.
He's weeping. I hear Albert weeping in the background.
No, it's a really great question, Albert, and thank you for asking. Thank you for calling. It's really important to recognize that God just desires our best interest, right? And He knows what's best for us. And so even if we say no to that call, it's not that, you know, it means that He's going to, you know, be angry or vengeful, or He's going to make our life miserable or anything like that. He invites, right? He invites us to share in that plan that He has for our lives. And so if it's our job to just say yes to that. And if we don't say yes, that doesn't mean that God's in any way going to reject us. It just means that He's going to pivot. You know, He's going to adjust with whatever we respond to Him with. And so for you, if you're thinking, oh gosh, I don't know if I'm supposed to be a priest, and it's kind of scary, you know, it can be scary to be a priest, you know, maybe you can just say, God, help me with the courage to say yes to whatever it is You're calling me to. And if that's priesthood, great. I know that it's going to be awesome. And if it's not priesthood, it's still going to be awesome. And so just being open to that is really good. And if you're scared or worried about that, just try to say, okay, God, how can You ease my worry with that and give me the peace that I need to say yes to You?
Albert, would you like to ask another question, or was is that okay?
That was good.
That was good.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Hang on. If you've got an adult there, we'd like to send you a book. I'm going to put you on hold. You just stay on that line. We'll be right back with Father Mark Gandolfo.
Have you ever wondered about the mysterious, even obscure aspects of the Catholic faith? Dive into the Jimmy Akin podcast, where Jimmy brings together information from many fields as he pushes the boundaries of apologetics. Tune in today to the Jimmy Akin podcast, Mysteries of the Faith, a highly entertaining, informative, and at times humorous show that will help you grow in your faith. Visit JimmyAkinPodcast.com today to subscribe.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What was the church like in its infancy? In a word, Catholic. And Joe Heschmeyer has the receipts. In his best-selling book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, he gives you the details from the historical records of the first two centuries of Christianity. Right now, get a copy for just $10, plus free shipping if you live in the continental United States. Get more information and order The Early Church Was the Catholic Church at theearlychurchwascatholic.com.
What is the Catholic Church? Everyone seems to have an opinion, but the Church never quite fits into the boxes people make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the Church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Join me for Beacon of Truth
today at 4 p.m. Eastern
on the next Beacon of Truth. More St. Maximilian Kolbe and soulful Psalm 110.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Having a nice conversation Father Mark Gandolfo, the Director of Vocations here in the Diocese of San Diego. If you'd like to talk about vocations, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. The main point that we've discussed so far is if you refuse God's vocation to the priesthood, you won't get dessert. That's what I took away from the first half hour.
Yeah,
is that about
good.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to John in Cleveland, Ohio, probably listening on AM 1260, The Rock. John, welcome.
Hi, Father.
Hi, John.
When it comes to vocations, whether to marriage, religious life, priesthood, and just for background, I'm single. I work in a consulting job, and what really makes it difficult for me is really how can we truly understand where God is prompting us? Mm. So, even at times with structured and unstructured prayer, it's really hard to discern God's voice and really trying to understand where he's prompting me to. Mm. So what guidance, what real life examples can you really help us recognize where God's call is, clearly being understood? I know God can't necessarily do that, and plus you get some apparition or something, but I'm just trying to help, my understanding of how you could do that.
Okay. Is that clear, Father?
That's a very good question. Yes. Okay. And if you have an apparition, that'd be really cool. And I think, I'd love to hear about that, obviously. But, and ironically, my parents live in Cleveland. So if you see a guy that looks similar to me walking around, it might be my father. It's kind of a big city, but who knows? And in terms of what you asked, it's important to recognize that even outside of structured prayer time, we can feel God tugging on our hearts. We can feel God leading us to service and to a life of service in a particular way through our everyday life. So it's not necessarily only through structured prayer or through unstructured prayer that God tugs on our hearts. It's through every moment of our lives, every moment of our days, God is working on us, is drawing us into relationship with him and calling us to a particular form of service. And that's different for every person, right? Whatever that looks like. And so I think it's important to see not only in our structured prayer time, right? I mean, we can have a tendency, and I've even heard this from some Catholics too, right? We can have a tendency to keep God in a box, right? We can say, okay, it's great. I go have my holy hour with Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament, and that's really awesome. And then I leave and I do whatever I want, and God's not present in any other aspect of my day. And that's obviously not true. So how can I recognize the tuggings on my heart at every other moment of the day from God? As we talked about praying without ceasing, how can I see God pulling me in a particular direction, even outside of the chapel during prayer or structured or unstructured prayer time? So a real life example for that is, as I said, when I was a young child, I loved to altar serve. I've had this deep love of altar serving, and I just hyper-focused on everything that I was supposed to do as an altar server and really diving into the celebration of the church gathered around the altar at worship on Sundays or daily masses or funerals. And I just loved altar serving. And that was one thing that I noticed. Hey, I love altar serving. I love participating in the mass. That's the Lord tugging on my heart, right? That's him saying, look, you have this desire, you have this tug to serve specifically at the altar. Now I'm calling you to serve in a more profound way at the altar still as a priest. So for me, that was one of the things that was helpful for me, is that call to service. So I guess thinking in your life, what are the ways in your own life do you feel the Lord tugging at your heart outside of maybe structured prayer time? Maybe you love working at your soup kitchen, or you love serving the poor, or you love serving at mass or youth ministry or college ministry, or helping the elderly members of your parish, or maybe you're called to give radically in that way, or maybe you have a large financial endowment that you're called to give in that particular way. There's many ways that God can call us to give of ourselves and to give in service of him. It's just important to see how the small things that happen in our daily life kind of pull us to that. I don't know if that answers your question.
Does that, John?
Yeah, it does. And can I ask a follow-up?
Sure, please. Go ahead.
Yes. So when it comes to, what you mentioned, discerning the other ways in which God might be calling you to serve, not necessarily in a marriage life or a priestly holy orders or religious type of life, is it okay to kind of think of that in the context of a person's life where you may not be led to that way of life, but could be in a way to serve as maybe like in a secular apostolate, you know, through your work, through your job, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that is a perfectly fine way to think of it as a service to the church in a profound way as an apostolate. You could also be sort of there are different orders that have groups of lay people that have given themselves to live that particular charism of that order. I can think of where I went to seminary was a Benedictine monastery, and they had a lot of oblates, which are people who are lay people who have participated in a retreat at the monastery and are sort of committing themselves to living the life of the rule of Saint Benedict, and do that in their own, you know, way of their own way of life. So there's ways that you can do that in your life as a single person, and give of yourself in that way, and that can be very, very beautiful, very fruitful and life-giving, because it's all about service, right? All of the vocations are a call to service in a particular way. Think of marriage and the call between service of a husband and wife, giving your life to each other, priesthood, the people that he has called to serve, and then even in a religious life, the members of your community you're called to serve. And so in a single life, the single vocation, who are you called to serve, right? You need to see who the Lord is calling you to serve in the single life and give yourself to them. Whether that be getting really involved at your parish, a lay apostolate, at the diocese, in particular ministries around you, whatever way that works, you need to find a way to give of yourself. And that's truly how you have a fulfilling vocation.
Okay, John?
Makes sense. Thanks, Father. Thank you, Si.
Thank you, John. Thanks very much for the wonderful conversation. I very, very much appreciate the call. The number here is 888-318-7884. Father, if I may, if someone goes to seminary, someone says, like, I don't know, let's say you've even graduated from college already.
Sure.
So you're like, I'm called to seminary. Does that mean you've decided to become a priest?
Just because you're called to seminary?
No, because you enter seminary.
Sure.
Do you do that after you've decided?
No. So, yeah, this is a really good question. Most people think that once you decide to enter seminary, that you're locked in, that, you know, we sort of attach an ankle bracelet to you and that you can never leave. and obviously that's not true. I mean, I say it sort of comedically, but it's similar to marriage. You know, you date, right? You don't just, like, walk up to a girl and you say, let's get married, right?
I've tried it, Father. It was a terrible idea.
But you're married. Did
no,
she?
No,
she said
no,
yes
it was when I was young.
Oh, got
I'm
it.
Just kidding.
Okay.
I never did that. I apologize for
that. Yeah. So, I mean, I assume the girl would say no. But I mean, my impression of conversations I've had with women, that they would say no. but it's a similar thing with priesthood. You know, you discern for a little bit that you're feeling this tug on your heart to priesthood, whether that be religious life or whether that be in the diocesan life. And then you just say, okay, I have to take it to the next step to make sure, right, to see if this is really what I'm called to.
Right.
And that means entering a program of priestly formation. And just because you enter seminary, a program of priestly formation, doesn't mean that you're for sure going to be a priest. It just means, hey, I need to take this seriously, and I need to have help. I need to have help discerning if this is what I'm called to. And that's what seminary is. So the program of priestly formation wins, the diocese wins, the religious order wins, if that guy figures out or girl figures out what God is calling them to. If that's priesthood, great. If it's not, great. Everyone wins.
Yeah. So you don't have to solve all of this on your own,
no,
so to speak. As a matter of fact, I guess you kind of can.
I mean, you can't. Yeah. I mean, and if anyone thinks that they can, good luck. I my phone is always available when you figure out that you can't do that. So.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break, and we'll come back and continue with our conversation about the whole idea of vocation, and do you have a vocation, and does my child have a vocation? What should I do? Maybe whatever your question is about vocation, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The world over with Raymond Arroyo. Coverage as seen through a Catholic lens.
All people of faith and sincerity need to awaken to this and protect this fundamental right of religious liberty.
Expert analysis.
Does Revelation judge history, or does history judge Revelation?
Stories vital to people of faith.
It's part of our faith that comedy and tragedy naturally go hand in hand.
Delivered to your inbox every week. Sign up today. Go to EWTN.com/worldover.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Mark Gandolfo is our guest. He's the Director of Priestly Vocations in our diocese, the Diocese of San Diego here in California, where we have a new bishop, Bishop Michael,
and fam, yeah,
you have to say fam. Oh no, this I have a problem saying his name, and I have to tell you what the problem is. You know, there's a thing where you go, where you abbreviate family by saying fam.
Sure. Yes.
I was saying it on the air.
Oh, sure.
And a donor gave $20 if I would never say it on the air again.
Oh, got it.
And
okay.
So now I have a problem. After that, I realized, that's the name of our bishop.
Yes.
So, wonderful priest. And is he the one that made you the director of priestly vocations?
That was one of his. That was one of his first
mistakes. I'm sorry, Father. I didn't know where you were going. I didn't mean to finish your sentence.
Decisions. Best decisions he's ever made.
I maybe misinterpreted where that was going. I apologize for that.
It was like 3 days after he was named the Bishop of San Diego, he called me and said that I was the new vocations director.
Isn't that great? Yeah. And so we're talking about vocations with Father Mark Gandolfo, and you are welcome to call 888-3187-884, going up to Boise, Idaho, where Father Sintra is on the line. Thank you for your call.
Yes, certainly. Good to be here with you all. Good to be talking to you, Father Mark.
Have you ever met Father Mark by any chance?
You know, we may have gone to seminary together.
I had a suspicion that the two of you were had gone through together. Were you both ordained the same year?
We were ordained the same year, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you're very welcome here. Do you have a question for Father Gandolfo, or did you just call to give him a hard time about claiming that he was Batman?
I do. Well, both.
Okay.
Great Batman analogy. Although definitely not a mistake for his bishop to have made him vocation director.
No, not at all.
Great move.
That's right.
And great for San Diego. No, so I was teasing with Father Mark before coming on, saying that I was going to give a softball on the screen and then give him a really hard question, teasing about that. No, but really my question is this, that's on the screen there, is what level of certainty does somebody have in order to go to seminary or even just take the first step and call their vocations director? Do they need to know for sure, yes, I'm definitely going to be a priest, or do they just have to have an interest in it, or is it somewhere in between? What level of certainty do they need to have?
I think the first question about what level of certainty to call me is one. If you have 1% of certainty, you're thinking about the possibility of priesthood, just give me a call. I don't bite, obviously, maybe Cy can give a different response, but
he hasn't thus far.
Okay, great. Awesome.
Almost an hour on the air.
Yeah, beautiful. So I'll pay you later, Cy. Thanks for that. Yeah. So I don't buy it. So just call me. Even if you have an inkling, even if you have a little bit of it's possible, just call me. In terms of seminary, I think it'd be, obviously, we don't want someone to enter seminary who maybe only has a 1% certainty, but maybe someone who has maybe a 50% certainty or a 60% certainty of this is possibly for me, right? You're not going to be at 100% as upon entering seminary, right? But how about you just have at least some certainty, right? And so, for sure, call me at the bare minimum if you have 1% or very little percentage of certainty. But I think if the guy's really feeling like he's called to priesthood, then, yeah, I think it doesn't really matter about what certainty he has, just if he is open to the possibility.
All right, Father.
Yeah, that's great. No, I appreciate that. Hopefully you'll get lots of calls down there.
Now, you seem like a happy fellow, Father. How have you adjusted to life as a priest, and how do you feel about it now, having been ordained a few years here?
Well, I'm just good at acting on the phone. That's all. No, just teasing. Yeah, no, it's been a great first couple of years so far, and I definitely feel very privileged, very blessed to be a priest and to be in the priesthood with Father Mark. And I got to come down there and spend time with him and a few other of our classmates just a few months ago. And hopefully we'll get to do that soon. And so, yeah, great brotherhood in the priesthood, and priestly ministry has been awesome. I'm just starting out my second assignment. I was just transferred a couple of weeks ago and just getting adjusted here. But, yeah, I feel very, very blessed. And, not only for ministry, you know, the work is great, but to relate to the Lord in this way as one of his priests, to participate in the one priesthood of Jesus Christ, in this personal, intimate way, to be able to celebrate Mass and to hold the Eucharist and to consecrate the Eucharist, certainly a gift, and certainly an unmerited gift, but something that I'm very, very grateful for.
Well, thank you, Father. Thank you very much for calling. I very much appreciate it.
You're welcome. God bless you both.
See you later, buddy.
The number here, 888-318-7884. We're talking vocations with the director of the Office for Vocations here in the Diocese of San Diego. We'll go now to Peoria, Illinois. Brian, listening on 94.3 FM. Glad to have you, Brian. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks for having me. Father, I wanted to ask about maybe how vocation directors work with high schools, like local Catholic high schools, if they do it all, and maybe even the guidance counselors there promoting the seminary as mm-hmm. a good option after high school versus I know it's common to get them ready for university and what they might want to study there and so forth. Is there collaboration there, or should there be something, maybe that be something you would want to see, or what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. Great question, Brian. I appreciate it. I think there depends on the diocese. I've seen some dioceses that work really well with their Catholic schools, and I think that's a great way to promote vocations is by being involved in the Catholic schools, the Newman Centers at different universities, Catholic universities in the particular diocese, having an impact, maybe not an influence, but just being present at some of their events can really go a long way. It can be a big deal for those students who are present there. So I think, yes, that is very important. For me, I'm going on day 13 into this role of priestly vocation. Wow. I will have a role at the high schools here in San Diego. And I think that's really, really important to foster vocations in that particular way. I've also had the idea, and this is kind of bold, and we'll see how this works. I have some friends who are guidance counselors at public high schools here in San Diego. And I told them that if they have a career day, that they should invite me to be present at that career day. I don't know if that's going to work out exactly like I have planned, but I think that's also a very good way to be present and say, this is also a career, you know, that is a possibility for these Catholic kids who are attending public high school. So yes, I think that's very important.
Okay, Brian.
Awesome. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very, very much. Something Father Cintra was saying there that I might have thought this as a young man, that the priesthood was kind of a lonely life, but he talked about the brotherhood of priests, like you all get together, or you tell me a little bit about the life of a priest, you know, that mm-hmm. not, I don't mean the ministerial
sure.
life of the priest, but the, yeah.
The other life.
Yeah. I know you don't divide your life up into parts, but your life of companionship
sure.
and friendship and all that.
Sure. I think it's really important to know that priests are normal people. It might not seem like it most of the time. As I joked, we're pretty abnormal, but we're normal people. We do things like everyone else. So I go to the grocery store and I shop at the grocery store. So some people freak out if they see me at the grocery store, like, what, you shop at the grocery store? But I know, it's super weird. I eat food.
Like, there's not some office in the church of shopper for the priest or something? Yeah. Nothing like that?
Yeah. Someone doesn't bring me my food? No. But there is a brotherhood, you know, because you need to. You need that friendship and you need that shared experience with people that can relate to you on a profound level. You know, the priesthood, and as every vocation, has its challenges. And just as in like a married couple goes to other married couples to help with difficult moments, priests go to other priests to help with difficult moments. And having people in your life that you can turn to is necessary.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times when guys leave the priesthood for whatever reason, most of the time it's possibly because they don't have that support group.
Mm-hmm.
And when times got tough, they turned to other things for support that are not good. And I think it's very important to have a good group of priests that you can turn to, good friends that you can turn to for just normal everyday challenges and struggles.
That is actually great because it's important for a normal young man to think, yeah, that could be me. Not to feel like that's for people who have some, mm-hmm. you know, superhuman powers or something like that.
Yeah, I don't have superhuman powers. No,
neither does Batman.
Not. Yeah,
he's just rich.
I'm just Batman. Yeah. Well, I'm not rich. I'm definitely not rich. Definitely not.
All right. So someone's listening right now, and maybe it's a young man, maybe a young woman, feels the nudge from God of a possible vocation. What is your advice? What do you say to the young person? Maybe it's not a young person. I apologize. Maybe someone could have that later in life.
But it's possible. Yeah.
But what would you say to that person?
Well, I'd first say just be open, obviously. Be open. Pray is the second step. So be open, pray. And then if you're discerning a particular vocation, talk to someone who's in that vocation. You know, if you're a parent who your child has expressed interest of priesthood, bring the priest over for dinner. You know, have the priest over just to talk with your son about priesthood. If your daughter has expressed a call to religious life, if there's a particular religious order that's in your parish or that's in your area, call them over to have dinner with them and just to show that, hey, it's normal. You know, it's normal. These are normal people. Because I think people can have a tendency to, oh, I see Father at Mass and he's up there and I never really talk with him.
Yeah.
And so just have him over for dinner and have people find out, hey, this is normal. If you're in college and you're thinking about priesthood or religious life, take the sister or the priest out for dinner. You know, maybe even with a group of people that are also thinking about it. You know, he might be open to that already. He might be looking for that and trying to help you. So that's what I would say. I'd say talk with someone who is in the vocation that you're discerning.
Well, now, what about the young person or any person who's listening now and says, I got to talk to somebody about this? Who do they call? How do they call them?
Ghostbusters.
I don't know. Come on, man.
Who are you going to call? I mean, every diocese has someone who takes calls for vocations, whether that be a vocations director or even just an assistant, right? Maybe that takes calls. I'd say call the office of vocations at your diocese or just go to your priest and he might know, right? I'd say start local is the best way to do it. Go to your priest and say, hey, I'm interested. What can I do to foster this vocation? And if your priest for some reason is an older, angry priest and is not happy with it, go to the next priest, right? Go to the parish over or go to another local parish and maybe find a priest that can help cultivate that particular vocation. Don't be turned off by that.
What if the person hasn't lived a saintly life?
That's okay. Again, I'm not a saint, as we've discussed. Very imperfect. There's very few things that prohibit someone from becoming a priest, and that's something that we can talk about when you start meeting with the vocations director.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I mean, Augustine was a great example. He did not live a good life, and he became a priest and a bishop. So, if that's who we're looking for as models, you know. There's what you currently are doing and there's what you did before.
Right. And it's okay to be late because mm-hmm. I remember Augustine himself, late have I loved you, Lord.
Late have I loved you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, that's roughly what Augustine said. So normal people can do this. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard to find out about it. You can call the diocesan office. You can mm-hmm. talk to the priest
sure.
where you are. And even if you got all the way into seminary, mm-hmm. nothing is decided yet.
Nope.
This is a process that's going to take some time
mm-hmm.
so that you can avail yourself of that.
And that's good. You need the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in seminary for 7 years, and I could not, I mean, I needed 7 years. I did not want to end it sooner. So, yeah, be open.
Father Mark Gandolfo, our guest, the director of the Officer of Vocations here in the Diocese of San Diego. Father, we're grateful for your visit. May we and our listeners have your blessing
yes.
before we go.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Go in peace.
Thanks be to God, and thank you, Father. Thank you so much. I hope people will consider reaching out to the vocation director where you are, and maybe we'll have you back on. Father's really good at this, didn't you think, Darren? Give me a quick evaluation. Oh, there's lots of thumbs up in there.
There's only three of them.
No, look at all those thumbs. They're all holding up their thumbs. That'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.